Well, the Cabinet was back to business on Tuesday. The Dáil resumes on September the 18th. The budget is scheduled for October the 1st, and it's political think-in season when the parties gather to focus on priorities for the year ahead. Labour's first with their get-together meeting today in Malahide in North County Dublin. Party leader Ivana Vacic, good morning.
Good morning, Mary. Thank you for inviting me on the programme.
Now, we heard earlier on the programme, and we heard on Monday as well, about growing levels of child poverty and tackling this problem. You know, in a growing and a buoyant economy is also on your agenda. What are you proposing?
Well, we were really shocked to see the figures coming out on material deprivation. As you say, one in five children, it seems now, in material deprivation, as we heard. And it is shocking in an Ireland in 2024 that we see this. So we in Labour will be discussing today at our think-in our proposals for a children's charter. We were already conscious that we see, again, a shameful level of children in homelessness, 4,401 children now in homelessness, and each one an individual tragedy. So what we're calling for is for the government to take on a crucial mission of vindicating the rights of children through better public services. And we're calling on for a number of things to be done that we would commit to doing if in government: to end child homelessness, to guarantee an early years or childcare place for every child, and to introduce a new DESH Plus model for schools in the most disadvantaged bands. And those are our three key priorities. We'll be teasing those out today with our great team of parliamentary members and indeed our general election candidates. And we've a great new generation of candidates coming through, Mary.
Well, I know before you get to the candidates and so on, here's one for you from Denise Charlton. We were talking about choice in a budget, and it's always about choice. And she would suggest, and we hear that there will be perhaps increases in universal child benefit. She says, you know, scrap some of these universal or one-off measures, concentrate on what she was calling a second-tier targeted child benefit. Is that something you'd support?
Yes, we do support it, and indeed we had a proposal for it in our budget last year. We called for that new second tier of child benefit to be developed. We had allocated 2.5 million in our alternative budget for that, and we'll certainly be building on that this year. We do absolutely, Mary, need to see a targeted set of measures to address this appalling level of child poverty. And that's why we're calling for a children's charter, to vindicate the rights of children. For us, you know, it's absolutely the crucial mission of any state, any democratic state, is to ensure and vindicate that the rights of the child are respected, that every child gets a fair start in life.
We put children into the Constitution to vindicate their rights. Do we need another headline measure called children's charter? Don't you need action?
For us, the Children's Charter comprises exactly that, a set of 9 targeted actions that we're calling for. And I've given you the first 3 that we'll be teasing out today. But we also need to have absolutely clear actions to end waiting lists for disability services for children, to provide enough special education places in our schools. And we see the Children's Ombudsman today saying, again, shockingly, 126 children with special needs today without places. I'm hearing from parents who can't get transport to bring their children to special schools because those schools are located so far from their homes. So we need urgent actions, and the Children's Charter for us is a way of ensuring.
All right, but how do you get started on any of these proposals until you sort out the problem of homelessness and housing?
You're quite right. Housing is the biggest single issue facing this government, and many of the issues around child poverty, around the disadvantaged children face, is because so many children, over 4,000, are without a home, and that is shocking in Ireland today. We see housing as the civil rights issue of this generation, and again we've put forward a clear plan to ensure increased delivery of homes. And
are you
that's
staying
crucial
with the 1 million homes over a decade?
Absolutely. We were the first party to realise the scale of the ambition that's needed. Last year at our Labour conference, I called for government to commit to building 50,000 new homes per year. That is a figure that is now accepted by all as representing
and 50,000 refurbs,
and 50,000 deep retrofit and refurb. And may I say, Mary, across the country, the scourge of vacancy and dereliction is very real. We need to tackle that. And finally, we need to address renters' rights, because in Irish society, renters have so few protections. And every day I'm hearing from families facing eviction.
Does that include an eviction ban?
We do propose that, absolutely. But the key thing here is increasing supply. And that's why that figure of 50,000 homes is so important. That's why we need to see more urgency, more ambition from government to tackle the housing disaster, to get Ireland building again.
Is there little between you then and Sinn Féin in terms of housing policy?
Well, certainly what we want to see is increased level of direct state investment in the delivery of homes.
So their affordable housing plan, whereas they've explained that the state continues to own the land, but the purchaser owns the home, can pass it on, but it stays always within an affordable bracket. Is that something that you would support?
I think I've been looking at that model that they've proposed, and I think there are complexities with it that others have identified. For us in Labour, the position is clear. What we need to see is the Land Development Agency, which we supported actually.
Did you not want to scrap the Land Development Agency?
No, we want to see it expanded, and we want to see it become effectively a state construction company so that we can see the state directly contracting to build homes through local authorities. We need to get Ireland building again, Mary. We need to build better together. And that's what Labour is about. Delivery of homes, delivery of social and affordable homes. In our budget last year, we'd allocated 1.6 billion to ensure that we would see 20,000 additional social and affordable homes last year. And again, that's the scale of ambition needed. Instead, we're seeing government missing their own targets, which themselves are too low.
Let's talk about your own party and the future of the Labour Party. You retained your local seats. You did win a European seat in the European elections. You've remained stubbornly stuck in the polls at around the 4% mark. What's your ambition for the next general election?
Well, we had a very strong result in the local and European elections, and we were delighted to see about 56 brilliant councillors returned serving communities across the country. And also, of course, our new MEP, the first time in over a decade, Mary, that we had elected a Labour MEP. And Éowyn O'Riordan has hit the ground running and has made his key priority in Brussels housing.
Accepts.
So we want to build on that success in the local and Europeans. We want to ensure that we see a really strong Labour team return to the Dáil in the general election, whenever that may be. But crucially, we want to see support building for Labour values to ensure that people are getting the homes they need, the educational places for their kids, the healthcare.
And therein, when you say you want to return the best team you possibly can, you have a problem coming into this election. You're losing Éowyn O'Riordan in Dublin Bay North. You're losing Brendan Howlin in Wexford. You're losing Sean Sherlock in Cork East. And incumbents always carry an advantage. Are you losing Alan Kelly in Tipperary?
Not at all. Alan, I think, as you'll have seen, has been extremely active in Boris O'Kane this week, and I just want to pay credit to him.
Is he running again?
Absolutely. And may I say, Mary, what we've seen in the local elections is a new generation of Labour councillors coming through, many of whom will be running for us in the general election. We've already selected 16 general election candidates, and I'm really excited about the gains that we've made around the country. In places like Cork and Galway and Sligo and Kilkenny, where we were written off previously, we've seen increased numbers of councillors. And we'll have really strong candidates and a new generation because we're a party of deep roots and green shoots, but our message is evergreen.
Okay, you want to be in government?
Absolutely.
Will you work with any and all parties?
We've been very clear that we're seeking to build support for Labour values and Labour policies to deliver for people in the first instance. After the election, the first thing we would do is sit down with other parties that share our vision and our values. We would talk first to those on the centre left, those who want to see increased state investment in services, and we would hope to then form a common bloc, a negotiating bloc that could push for centre-left policies to be put in place. We have serious policy differences with the three biggest parties, but we want to ensure there is maximum support
and
for the centre-left values.
Your relationship with the Social Democrats, are you still holding out the hand more than they are to you in terms of a merger?
I've always worked collaboratively with parties and with individuals who share our vision and our values, with those on the Green Party, those in the centre-left parties, and we'll continue to do so.
And specifics on the Social Democrats and a merger?
We're fighting this election. We'll be knocking on every door as a standalone party and looking for support for our great Labour candidates.
Ivana Bacik, thank you very much indeed for coming in to us.